On this episode, the East goes through Toronto. Anton is on fire and tweets from Kazakhstan. And how about that Grey Cup halftime show? Crack those cold ones. It's the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast. Just search Argos Fancast or go directly to theargosfancast.podbean.com. I'm Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay. And joining us, as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com. He is the VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Good evening, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And Doug is on evening, so he will not be joining us this evening. But you can find him at DougB519 on Twitter or find his group, The Double Blue Order. Just search any of your social medias. They're on there, Double Blue Order. Or go directly to doubleblueorder.ca and get some merch, including the McLeod Bethel Thompson Law Firm t-shirt. Well, Will, we were hoping that they were not going to give us heart attacks, but they did. But they did win it for Will.
They did.
So, here's the problem now. If they make it to the Grey Cup, you have to go.
Yeah. Fortunately, the vacation days could be an issue. I am 3-0 on the road.
Exactly. So, you know, we'll have to talk to your boss. I know also you just started a new job a little while ago, but still, we're going to have to talk to your boss.
Also, the part of hotel rooms in Montreal could be a slight...
Regina, don't worry. We can find a place for you to stay in Regina. Don't worry about that. We know people. We can get you a place to stay and not don't have to worry about that. But we got.
Maybe we'll need to go if they make the Grey Cup.
Yeah. Anyway, the game. The Argos started off looking great and then didn't look great. And then looked great again, and then didn't look great, and then looked great again. By all was said and done, they came out with a 24-23 win over Montreal to clinch first place in the Eastern Conference, Eastern Division, whatever we want to call it, in the CFL. And that means we are hosting the East Final.
Against on either, November 13th.
On November 13th at 1 p.m., get your tickets at argonauts.ca. They're, I believe, $25 plus a surcharge is the cheapest you can go. And then, the most expensive ticket available right now, I believe, is $103 plus surcharge. You can't go to a Leaf game for that.
No.
You can barely go to a Raptors game for that. And that's the best seat in the house. So... Yeah, $28. Where are we? Let's see. Scroll down, see if I can find the most expensive ticket here on Ticketmaster. Oh, well, okay. So those field level seats are a little pricey. They're $242.
Well, they can't. Not everything could be $25.
No. And then, you know, section 123, row 4 is going to set you back, $165.75, and then you're below 100. Everything else is cheaper. So lots of great seats still available. Go to argonauts.ca/tickets and, get your tickets. Or if you're a season ticket holder and you know some people that want to come, call your your ticket rep, they can get you a better deal than Ticketmaster. Now, back to that game. It was up and down. McLeod Bethel Thompson, 20 of 29, 69%, 240 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick that he should not have thrown. Rushing the ball, A.J. Willette, 14 carries, 92 yards, and a long of 34 yards, where I think he sought out everybody on the Montreal Alouettes to hit. McLeod Bethel Thompson had two carries, 15 yards. Chad Kelly had two for 2 yards and a touchdown. Receiving the ball, Curly Gittens Jr. went over 1,000 yards for his first time in his career. Seven catches, 117 yards and a touchdown. Devaris Daniels has three for 51. A.J. Willette had three for 31. And the other one thing I need to mention here, yak yards for A.J. Willette, 30 out of the 31 yards were after catch. Brandon Banks had three for 23. And Markeith Ambles, four for 18 and a touchdown in there. Boris Beattie missed two kicks, but one counted for the single and got us the win. So,
yeah,
we're glad with that. And then Enoch Mwamba played like a man possessed. 9 tackles, 1 sack, and every bit of it violent.
Yeah, the Argos also got 4 sacks.
Yep. Sean Oakman had one of them. Jagir Davis had another. And Sam Achampong had one. And we also got a pick by Jonathan Jones. Because, you know, not everybody on our on the defense has an interception yet. So we might as well get Jonathan Jones one, too.
Yep.
And unfortunately the defense bent a lot.
Yeah, they gave over 400 yards passing, which was a bit disconcerting.
Yeah, but they were kind of, you know, next man up a lot in there, and I mean when they needed to shut it down, they did. They just bent a lot more than we would.
Yeah. Well, they got a goal line stop.
Yep.
Picked off another ball in the red zone.
Yep.
But, you know, they're not going to be able to get away with that indefinitely.
No. Well, off of that, we should get right into our...
The good. The bad. The ugly.
Will, where do you want to start here?
Well, we could start with, let's work ugly. Let's okay. Start at the bottom and work our way to the top. Ooh. I don't have an ugly. Well, no, my ugly was a decision by Ryan Dinwiddie to punt the ball from the 39-yard line. The Argos were up 16-6 at that point. The defense had been playing well, but they decided to punt instead of going for a 46-yard field goal. And the punt was returned by Worthy for a good gain, and Montreal ended up scoring on that drive. And it kind of turned, you know, had the potential to turn the game around. So, you know, I get that Beattie had struggled a little bit in his field goal kicking. You know, I think he was 0 for 2 in the game. But the punt return coverage was not great. That was inconsistent as well. So it was just a weird decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben pointed it out in his article on Three Down Nation. And he's, you know, where they returned that 41 yards. It's not the best decision to make. And I think at least Boris Beedy is a veteran. And, you know, the standard is you don't want to do that. You show you don't have confidence in your kicker. But he's a veteran. And Dinwiddie's been, you know, open with his players about his decision making. So, you know, probably no sweat off Boris Beedy's back, but a younger kicker probably would have taken that as a shot to him. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call the bend that our defense had was necessarily ugly. I mean, I think that's more in the bad realm because they did hold them anyway. McLeod Bethel Thompson, once again, he's either on, and he's really on, or he's off. And you wonder what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, the Argos had that spectacular 109-yard drive after the goal line stop, but really did not produce much offensively the rest of the...
No, and...
Mind you, there was a missed field goal.
Yeah, and I mean, the one I was thinking of, Ben pointed out too in his article, so I'm stealing from Ben anyway. But the interception he threw, even I knew where he was going with the football. Even my cat, who's sleeping in the basement, probably knew where he was going with the football. He didn't take his eyes off Markeith Ambles the whole time.
No.
You know, that's a very, very rookie mistake, but, you know, then he turns around and does, and, you know, 34 seconds, drives 40 yards to get the game-winning.
Well, I thought the Argos were done right there when he threw that interception. I'm like, all right, this is how it's going to go. But they held Montreal to a field goal, and the Argos get a touchdown, which gets answered by a Montreal touchdown, and... Yeah, my dad's like, oh, we're going to overtime. I'm like, no, there's 34 seconds left. It's enough time in the CFL. And it was.
And I guess then we could transition into bad. The, you know, that bend but don't break defense. That's and at times our defenses look like they could stop a fleet of Peterbilt trucks just barreling down the field. You know, they've looked like any one of them could stop that, all that.
Yeah.
And then there's times where they stretch and stretch and stretch and stretch before they finally clamp down.
Well,
and
God, Tavares McFadden had a rough game.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And it's just, it's one of those things against a much better team. That bend is going to break quicker than it would against a team like Montreal.
Oh, yeah. No, they're not going to be able to get away with that.
No. Did you have anything that fell into the bad category?
No, I think we've covered it with the defense. Yeah. I mean, it's got to be better.
Yeah, and I'm gonna, you know, give that, to, you know, they did have a few people who were in and out of the lineup, you know, a little bit inconsistent over the last couple of weeks, but you know, as far as who's in there, who's not, and a few guys playing out of position. So it's we got to give them a little bit of bend in this, but we're not going to break and say that they can keep playing like that. They really can't. Now to the good. I found a few things that are pretty good that were good in this game. I mean, I mentioned it in the stats recap. Henock Muamba. The dude played like a man possessed.
Yep.
Like some of the hits he threw, it's just like that. Like it was like looking at like, you know, the old Henock Muamba looked like he definitely looked like he was the best linebacker in the league in that game.
Well, at one point, you know, Trevor Harris tried to rush for, got 5 yards and boom, hit a brick wall.
Yeah. And that brick wall's name was Muamba. He knocked Stanback right, you know, flat for a short gain when he came running up the middle on him. That sack he got looked like he probably could have like picked Trevor Harris up and flung him with one arm. He just had a violence to him that just works so well for football. And it was nice to say, I hope we keep getting that for the next, East Final and the Grey Cup, because they're going to the Grey Cup. What else? Did you have anything on the good, Will?
Curly Gittins got 1,000 yards receiving. Had over 100 yards and a touchdown. And his congratulations on his first 1,000-yard season in the CFL.
And he definitely deserved it.
Yep.
He's been the most consistent receiver. I think he's been the only receiver that stayed healthy all year.
I think Ambles has been in there most games, but...
Yeah. But him and Ambles, but, I mean, you know, Curly's been... You know, Ambles has been the possession guy. Curly has been the home run guy.
Yeah.
The Argos finally were successful on a challenge.
Yes, they were.
Though I'm not sure exactly.
What was the challenge about?
Yeah. That was when they Montreal So that was the one where I guess they ruled a safety.
Right.
Yeah, and Trevor Harris was in the grasp. He was in the end zone, and he shoveled it forward, and it got knocked down. And I get they called it an incomplete pass, I believe. And then it was a very confusing one, but they challenged it, and they won their third challenge of the season.
And then Montreal ended up conceding a safety on the.
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah.
The other good, you know, loud, enthusiastic crowd in Montreal. So hopefully that franchise is heading in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean that's. I mean we need them to get things turned around there. Ryan Hunter has looked pretty good at left guard as of late.
Yes, that's the comment I've seen around that the Argos line has been more solid since he entered the lineup.
Yep. Once again, going back to Ben Grant's article, in Hunter's four games, Toronto had 44 rushing attempts for 293 yards, a 6.7 yard per carry, which if that was the case throughout the full season, that would be easily first in the CFL. Over the season, we are second last in rushing yards and second last per carry average at 4.7. And then enter Ryan Hunter, and things start to look a lot better. Now that we won that game, we get to relax a bit, but there was one thing about that coverage that I didn't get until I actually read your tweet on the matter regarding the final play of the game.
A legal procedure. Defense, they made the offense move. 5-yard penalty, first down repeated.
Yeah. So so I was at the game, so it didn't matter. But what I sort of learned after the game had ended was the circumstances in which the Argos won the game was not conveyed well to the audience on TSN. I didn't have a chance to watch the full broadcast, but in the immediate aftermath of that kick, the missed field goal, all you see is sort of a whistle blow. Chandler Worthy slows down. And then they focus on the penalty, which was a too many men call on Montreal. My understanding is that the broadcast left people somewhat confused with what had actually happened. And TSN didn't help the fact when they tweeted something on Saturday night saying the Toronto Argonauts clinched first place in the East by 1 point after the Alouettes were given a penalty for too many players on the field. Well, except that's not what happened. The kick by Beedy was strong enough that it took Chandler Worthy to the back of the end zone. And when he caught it, his foot was out of bounds.
So that's why it was, and that's why it was blown dead at that point.
It was. It was like when Chris Rainey had that happen to Chris Rainey against for the Argos against BC a few years ago.
So the penalty was then declined.
Yes.
Because it was inconsequential. It didn't matter.
It didn't matter, but it wasn't made clear.
No. And I was confused because I like, why would they blow that play dead? Like, that didn't make any sense. And then they declared a single point on that. There were just some things that were just left out, and it just was just confusing enough for, you know, fans like me to, you know, question my understanding of the rule. Because
when
there's too many men on the field, he don't blow the play dead. Yeah, that confused me. And thanks to your tweet, I realized, okay, my confusion was misplaced. But it would have been nice for TSN to explain that.
Yeah, and it's just a continuation of what people have been discussing this year. You know, they just feel like TSN's coverage has just become, I don't know, stale, or it's just, it's not what it once was.
No, there feels like something, it feels like something's missing.
Right.
It's not, doesn't necessarily feel complete. Even like, you know, I know we complain a lot about getting the pre and post game shows, but I think they've done a few more pregame shows than we have in years past. But even like, it just, something is lacking, and I can't quite put my finger on it is to what's lacking.
Well, I think a lot of people are upset that, you know, CTV's hyping up the CFL. The NFL, but they won't. They won't allow the NFL on there.
Yeah. Like, I understand, you know, they're really trying to drive that fan to TSN because the CFL is their flagship product. But not everybody gets TSN.
No.
And up until recently, a lot of the cord cutters, you know, didn't always get TSN. They had to find other means to see the games. It was one of the reasons why I have never gone to an Android box is up until the last year, you know, for some of the reputable ones, I couldn't get the TSN unless I paid an extra $20 directly to TSN a month.
Right.
And now things are starting to change now, but I... You know, I would like to see TSN, you know, TSN and Bell Media and CTV do, you know, a game of the week on CTV. One game
a week. Exactly.
You know, and then you simulcast. You can simulcast it on TSN too, you know, even if it's the game of the week, right? So everybody knows exactly where to go. But at the same time, playoffs, Grey Cup, simulcast on both. Your Labor Day games and your Thanksgiving games, because those are your two premier weekends that you got. Simulcast on both channels. I don't see why you can't do that. I know you've worded your contract differently, but I'm sure if you wanted to make that change, I think the CFL would probably be okay with that.
Yeah.
But on to the next, I guess.
Indeed.
So this week, it's going to look a little different since the Argos have not a lot to play for. It, especially from what Dinwiddie said right after the game, Chad Kelly's going to start on Saturday, which will make a bunch of fans very happy.
Well, I keep hearing that the Argos are finally admitting they're tight with the salary cap, which, I don't know, apparently will cause some issues in how which guys they can...
Which guys they can rest, which guys they can't.
Yeah.
Well, when you add it all up, I think the Argos have somehow ended up having more guys on the injured reserve this year than just about anybody else.
Yep.
In a year where it feels like everybody has been hit by the injury bug. The two-third mark of the season or something like that, there was a stat that the Argos had lost the most man games to injury, which is going to cause you to have to pay more people.
That's true. But they're saying it may prevent them somewhat from resting everybody that they
would like to, yeah.
Would like to.
But at the same time, I mean, Chad Kelly's been in every game anyway. So, you know, him starting. Enoch has mentioned that he's looking to get a rest day. Apart from that, I think some of these guys, you may see them play a little bit and then just kind of let the backups in. But I don't think you're going to get to see guys off the practice roster jumping up all of a sudden to take a lot of spots.
Well, I mean, we'll see Chad Kelly, but other than that, I'm just hoping let's stay and get healthy for the
fun. Let's not get hurt.
Mm.
It would be very nice to not have any more injuries. Now, the other thing that was a little bit interesting about the last game that I think we forgot to mention is Chris Edwards was a late scratch.
He was. And it wasn't injury related.
No. All I saw was that he had a football-related disagreement with the coaches.
That's what I understand as well.
So what that means, no clue. Hopefully he's cooled down a little bit to come back and play, but yeah, we won't necessarily know. And what was the other? I believe Winton McManus might be eligible to come off the sixth game.
Well, I think they said the playoff game.
Yeah.
And they even said Andrew Harris might be.
Yeah.
But I'm not taking that out of the lineup.
No, not the way he's been running. And I mean, if you watched any of his runs, I think he's still holding on to those footballs.
Holds it like a baby.
He holds it like a baby wrapped in an OtterBox case that's been super glued and duct taped to his body.
Yep.
You're not getting that football off. I could see him biting through his face mask to bite your hand before you get that football off of him. And the way he's been running, that probably is something that he would do. So this next thing coming up, you know, we mentioned Chad Kelly's going to start. I'm just looking at, you know, what they had in the lineup there. So I think we'll probably see a little bit more, depending on probably a little bit more Javon Leak and Adedeboye. Probably a little bit more Tommy Neild, Dejon Brissett.
Yeah.
You know, we'll probably see a little bit more DeAndre Knight.
Sam Achampong.
We definitely will see Jack Kassar and Hoyt. And probably Haggerty at safety. Might spell Mechie a little bit more.
What they, I think they said was, guys may still have to dress.
Yeah, they're just not going to play as much unless.
Yeah.
You know that with that, you know, we'll probably, I mean, probably see a little bit of Theron Churchill in there. Probably see a little bit more Gregor McKellar. You know, some guys who've been the backups most of the year. We'll probably see them get a little bit more playing time. But yeah, they're up against a cap. It's, you know, they're not going to be able to, you know, turn around and trot out, you know, trot out, who we got Eric Sutton, Enoch Penne, Larea.
You know, well, they may. Enoch's been in the lineup, I think.
Yeah, he's been in and out, but he's sitting on the practice roster right now, right? So, right, you're not going to see who knows? We may see a couple of these guys. Like they may let Beattie have a night off and bring in Toshiko Sato, our Japanese kicker.
Be nice to him this year, people.
Yeah. You know, we might get to see our international defensive lineman, Simeon Okanta Riso.
You have an international defensive lineman?
Yeah. We do. He's got a very hard name to pronounce.
Good luck, Adam.
Probably see a little bit, and if he's healthy, we might see a little bit more Tiggy Sanko. I'm not sure if he's healthy. Oh, he was just one game, so yeah. But who knows? We may see some guys coming off the sixth game just to get a little bit of reps in there. Who knows? So it'll be an interesting game and
stress free.
Yeah, and if I mean I still want them to win. I still want those 12 wins that I was on the low end of my prediction at the beginning of the season. So if we make it there, I will be satisfied, and I think. Even if we don't make it to those 12 wins, just based on the scenario surrounding this last game, I'm not going to be disappointed.
Gotcha.
Now, we've got some games coming up this week to see where a couple people were going to land. But the other thing that's started cropping up in CFL social media circles is the Grey Cup halftime show. And who was going to play? Because I think some people have realized that they haven't announced an act yet.
They have not.
And we are less than 30 days away.
We are.
So, explain.
I don't know.
Oh, there were some great tweets on this, too. And some that walk the line of being, you know, borderline inappropriate.
I didn't understand that.
Apparently, I triggered my phone. Yeah, there was the one tweet that I can't remember who it was, but it said they had originally planned for Headley to run it back, but they're just waiting on Jacob's the outcome of Jacob's sexual harassment trial. And the fact that he was given 5 yards means they have to go to play it, or 5 yards, 5 years. He was convicted and given 5 years means, yeah, they can't play the halftime show anymore. So they've got to go to plan B. But it's a halftime show in Saskatchewan. As long as you have snowmobiles jumping through the air through hoops of fire, we'll be good.
People will be happy.
Yeah. That was the only reason I remember that Headley played the halftime show is because of those damn jumping snowmobiles.
Huh.
But I started to kind of think, like, okay, well, who could they get? You know, are they going to get a Saskatchewan band? And I'm the only really big one right now is the Sheepdogs.
Right, but they're playing in Minneapolis.
Minnesota, yeah. So they're booked. You know, you're not necessarily going to get the Arkells to play 2 years in a row.
No.
And I believe they're on tour as well. So, yeah. It'll be interesting. You know, we had people tweet out things as far as, you know, okay, you just tell everybody it's, you know, insert random Canadian 80s hair band.
Well,
playing the halftime show already.
Northern Pikes weren't really a hair band, but.
Yeah, well. Northern Pikes, what was the other one? Not Journey, was it? No.
No, Journey's not Canadian.
No. There was a few of them they threw out there that that I'm going to kick myself as soon as we get off. I'm going to start remembering them left, right, and center. Then you have Danny Austin. Grey Cup halftime show is just going to be Randy Ambrosi giving a 15-minute presentation about Genius Sports.
Right.
Or somebody asking, you know, maybe it should be the dog show.
Oi.
Which honestly is a halftime show for anything. It's not. Doesn't play great. But it's just one of those things that it ends up as a halftime show at some point in the season for every single team.
It's so, I don't know, 80 CFL to not have this arranged.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
No, and this is something that they normally announce, like, in, you know, August. You know, or even they announce it at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So I don't know what. Yeah. You know what? I would like somebody to do some investigative journalism and figure out what the hell happened. Why don't we know? Why has it not been announced? I don't know.
I'm not a journalist.
No. Neither am I. I play one on your computer or your phone, wherever you're listening to this.
Armchair journalist.
I've been technically trained.
Yeah.
I graduated as a news major from radio broadcasting, so.
I got into RTA.
Well, we'll see. See how things play out. Hopefully they listen to the anger that's in social media right now about this. Well, getting to this week's games. We'll start off Friday. We've got BC in Winnipeg. I'm pretty sure Zach Caleros is sitting for this one.
Again?
Yeah. I think BC's winning this just because I honestly think that Winnipeg is in the same boat they were in 2007 when their starting quarterback went down, and they had now Argos coach Ryan Dinwiddie come in and look like he was playing out of his depth against Saskatchewan in Toronto.
Well, who's starting for BC?
And we don't even know that yet. We haven't even found out if how much they're going to look at possibly Nathan Rourke, because they say he's definitely practicing this week. So he's likely going to be in uniform. Whether or not he plays, I don't know, but we'll see that. So who you got? I'm going with BC.
I'll go with Winnipeg at home.
Okay. And Doug, today we're flipping a Canadian, a 2010 dime. So heads is your away team. Tails, which will be the Blue Nose, is your home team. And he's picking BC. Oh, and look at what we have here for Saturday. We've got the triple header. So we start in Toronto. Montreal is in town. I believe they have a little bit to play for. Can Hamilton catch them or not?
No.
No. Okay, so that's all set. So who knows what Montreal team we get in here. I'm picking Toronto by 9.
I'm picking Toronto by 13.
And Doug is picking Toronto. So we're going to go. Well, we're going to set the over under at yours. So over 13 is heads, under 13 is tails. He's going the over. Toronto by more than 13. Then we get Hamilton and Ottawa in Ottawa.
Give your fans a home win, Ottawa.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll pick Ottawa just for the sake. And Doug, is going to pick Ottawa because he will not pick Hamilton. What is the over-under at that game? Let's see if I've... No, they haven't even started it yet. No, don't even have a favorite listed. So, we'll say over-under Ottawa wins by five or by five. And he's taking the under. So Ottawa is going to win by less than five. And then we've got Calgary in Saskatchewan. No, we don't. We've got Saskatchewan in Calgary. Oh, this is... That's one kick in the nuts to end the season for Saskatchewan. I'm picking Saskatchewan just for the friggin' hell of it.
I'm picking Calgary because the Rough Riders fucking suck.
And Doug is
the playoffs.
And Doug is picking. He's picking Calgary.
Yeah.
I hope the 2010 Blue Nose served you better, Doug. And with that, I mean, I don't think there's any more CFL news before we get to the fun stuff now.
Not really, no.
No, and this being we're recording on the Monday, we don't even have injury reports to talk about, so let's go here.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out. Is this thing on?
Yeah.
Are you hearing it?
Well, we could go directly out to Kazakhstan since the pork rankings are not out yet. But I honestly think you could run back the exact same rankings that came out last week, and everything is leftovers. Because same thing. Yeah. Nobody moved. Everybody stayed where they should. We'll see what Todd's Football comes up with probably the next couple of days. Well, probably tomorrow. But let's go directly to Kazakhstan. Now, he had some great ones this week. We're going to start with one from here. Well, we're going to start with, where is it here? The one that he replied a couple days ago or yesterday to Simone Lawrence. He said, Simone said, dinner with my girl parents. God, he can't even tweet phonetically. Dinner with my girl parents. What should I wear? What should I bring? Anton says a wedding ring. I thought it was funny. The next one. when the Argos tweeted out that that fun little video of the Montreal hat wearing Angry Bird missing the W egg and slamming his head into the L, a troll replied CFL Rule 1, as in win. And Anton replied, well, that's what sport is. Argos win because they score more points under regulation. And he looks like he got a smile out of the troll. And then the other one that he had pregame, he had a little discussion with our friend Mike, aka Andrew or Argo Fluffy, aka Big Nish. So Fluffy said, "So where is the Argos viewing party today?" Anton replied, "Come to Kazakh. I will treat you well. You can meet my cousin." And Fluffy replied, "LOL, I'm married." And then we get, "I guessed wrong. I thought you were single because you look happy in your pictures."
Oi.
And then Fluffy obviously said, "LOL, so happy, but I appreciate your suggestion." So, I thought Anton was doing pretty well this week. And there's nothing else fun going on a Monday in CFL land.
No. Very boring.
Yeah, I mean, all the...
Well, I could read my bad translation. My bad translate.
Oh, CFL. Yeah. You read. How many times have you ran them through translation?
I don't know. I think I did it 7-8 times, but I don't ask me what language is it was. Use Google Translate and see what happens. So let me just call it up. I need to find it.
All right. Well, we can cut out the blank space, I guess. Now, did anybody take a picture with you in Montreal?
No, I didn't see anybody.
No.
So don't know as many people in Montreal, I suppose. Then, of course, I wasn't looking to take pictures. Take a picture of myself.
See, my whole thing is I wanted people to, like, you know, accost you for a picture. That would have been funny.
You needed to put it out on. I think the thing is, you mentioned it on the podcast.
But yeah.
Not really. So especially for, right, you know, talking about fans of the opposing team, they're not necessarily going to.
Yeah, they're not always listening to this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I see my error. I will do better. Argo fans, I want to see selfies with Will. And I'm going to tweet that out. And we're going to make that happen. We're definitely going to make that happen.
Well, here are the CFL teams. I did it twice. Don't ask me what language this was translated through, but you get the Argos are Argon Toronto, whatever that means. The Ticats are the Hamilton Wolf. How a Tiger Cat becomes Wolf? Don't know.
Well, at least at least they gave an actual animal to Hamilton.
Yeah. The Ottawa Red Blacks became Black People in Ottawa.
Where the hell did the red go?
I don't know. The Alouettes became Montreal's Roots Beach.
How is that even English anymore?
It's not. The Lions, because you have to flight out the full British Columbia, they were just BC. But I'll read my second one. The Elks became the Edmonton Moose, which makes sense. The Stampeders became Calgary Blogger. Whatever. The Blue Bombers became Blue Bomber Winnipeg. And the Saskatchewan Rough Fighters became Riding Strong in Saskatchewan. Narrator. They were not Riding Strong.
I don't think that translated that far.
No. But there is a second translation. Which didn't work out as well. The Winnipeg and the Argos didn't translate out of their names at all. The Ticats became Hamilton the Tiger Cat. The Montreal became the Montreal Elo-8s. The Red Blacks were the Ottawa Ed. BC became Lewen, British Columbia. And I shit you not, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders became Lie. L-I-E.
Oh, my God.
This whole season was like a lie for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Something ain't right in Saskatchewan. Something ain't right. Oh, and I guess the last little bit of fun stuff we got. We mentioned the Argos. Video they put out of the failing Angry Bird. But the other one thing that I've noticed that I don't think we've mentioned enough is. The Argos have been doing the dub cam. So right after the game, somebody is handing a phone to all the players to just celebrate with. And damn, it looks fun. So I don't care if you stole that idea from somebody. Shout out to the Toronto Argos social media team. Because that's something that's I think we need more of.
Yeah.
And the other one thing I want to finish here, the Argos Ticats rivalry series, that uninterrupted documentary. If anybody's wondering when that's going to air, it's going to air November 4th at 7 p.m. on TSN.
Finally.
Yes. They've kind of had some small social media ads here and there, and I can understand how people could miss it. I actually searched it out at one point because I've been searching it once a week to find out when they're going to show up. But yeah, November 4th at 7 p.m. Toronto Argonauts Hamilton Ticats rivalry series on the uninterrupted series.
Well, you know what the Argos need as well? A Canon cam.
The Argos need to utilize that Canon more consistently.
Well, they need to film fan reactions to it.
They did at one point, and then they got away from that. Like that.
Because people just.
People jump. It scares the crap out of people. It's fantastic. Argos needs it. They need Canon cam, and they need to start
to capitalize on it.
Yeah. And they need to start firing it off after every touchdown. Because I know they haven't done it after they haven't been doing it after every touchdown. Only a handful of them at the beginning of the game. More often, more cannon cam.
Yep.
Now, if anybody's looking to go to the game this Saturday, it's 2 o'clock start. Get your tickets argonauts.ca/tickets or Ticketmaster. They've got them there. Get your East final tickets for November 13th. Kickoff is 1 o'clock. Tailgate starts as early as you can get into the parking lot. And get your tickets for as low as $25-$28 with service charge.
Yeah, we want that stadium full of Argo fans.
Yes. And hey, if you know somebody who wants to go to the game, your discount will get it cheaper than the Ticketmaster. So help them out, get them to the game, and for as low as $25 for a playoff game, hails yeah.
It's okay to like both the CFL and the NFL.
It's okay to like all football, man. I don't care. I like all football. Hell, next weekend I'm going to be going to two games. I'm going to the Argo game, and then we're heading down to Detroit to go to the Lions-Dolphins game the next day.
Good luck.
Well, I guess that does it for the Argos Fancast this week. Will, where can they find you?
You find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And, Doug, who's not here, you can find him at DougB519 or find the Double Blue Order just search Double Blue Order on your social medias. You'll find them, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. They're all there. And you can get the merch, including the McLeod Bethel Thompson Law Firm T-shirt, at doubleblueorder.ca. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the Twitter and Instagram machines. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast, or anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast or the Argos Fancast.podbean.com. That does it for the Argos Fancast this week. We'll talk to you again next week when we're previewing some games we're not going to be playing in. And talk about how the backups go. Cheers, everyone.